You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members and listeners to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with the Fire Up MUA program. You're with the Victorian Executive. How are you, Robbie?
I'm very good, Dave, and good morning to you too.
Dino.
An awesome, mate. Beautiful, lovely day in Melbourne.
And Jace.
Morning, listeners.
We're missing Aaron. He may join us shortly. We're going to talk about a few things today. One of them is the ongoing war in the Middle East and the impact that's having on working families, both in the Middle East and here in Australia. We all know, when war starts, it's the ordinary working families and their communities and workers who are killed and displaced and silenced, while big companies, big multinational corporations continue to make record profits. The MUA came out 4 days after Iran was invaded and condemned the attacks as illegal. They are illegal under the UN charter. Under the UN Security Council, there was no authorization for the US to attack Iran. And under Article 2, the prohibition of force, and Article 51, self-defense. So it doesn't comply with any of the UN charter, so it is an illegal war. And we do see, as I've said, ordinary families and workers getting killed and displaced as a result of it. And here in Australia, we see the impact it's having on workers over here. Fuel prices are going up, obviously, as we've all been subject to that. And now with the potential of fertilisers being disrupted, the farming industry is going to be impacted, so workers could lose their jobs there. And transport and maritime workers could also lose their jobs. So it's there's nothing in it for the working class people, and the US are out of control in the way they are invading countries, and it just looks like it's a grab for energy around the world.
Yeah, it's pretty awful what's going on, and so now every single thing that gets carted by transport, there's going to be a cost involved. The cost has increased. There's only one person who pays for that, and that's us. Yeah. And like you said, Dave, it's not the capitalist or their families will suffer.
No.
It's the people who are doing it tough already. And what about 20,000 seafarers stranded? Just stranded.
In the Strait of Hormuz?
In the Strait of Hormuz. That's horrific. It's going to work, and now they're stranded with no actual light at the end of the tunnel about when they might even get home. So as soon as you talk about one thing, it flows into another. But at the end of the day, it's us, and it's the people at the bottom who suffer the most, as has always been the case.
There was reports this morning that a US naval ship blew a hole in an Iranian cargo vessel, allegedly trying to go around the US blockade in the Strait. I think in Trump's words, they punched a hole through the engine room.
Yeah.
Something else to gloat about. What about those seafarers on board that ship that are totally innocent
right.
and separated from a war that, again, shouldn't have happened. They shouldn't be there. I think he's getting himself into a bit of strife, old Trump. I think even his own countrymen are starting to turn against him. It's causing issues like, you know, the ramifications around the world. And the US isn't away, or they can't get away from some of these ramifications. Fuel prices are going through the roof, as we all know. He's getting a little bit offside, I think, old Trump.
Actually, there's some really disturbing element knock-on effects too. You know, when you're talking about fertilizers in Europe, the cropping season was in April, May, because here we're going into winter, but in there they're going into spring. So they would have been using the fertilizer during those months. So there will be potentially hunger will increase, which is because the returns. You also heard that this is a less disturbing, but PVC piping, we've only got enough till the end of May, because it's also made with this will have a knock-on effect for construction. It's also made. Oh, there's all these things that are made with petroleum. That's all. Maybe yeah, it's a perfect time for all those material scientists to come up with different methods to create the things that we think are important.
Yeah, exactly. Well, another interesting point of view on it too, Annie, was that all this has done is show the Iranian government that they've got a stranglehold on the world energy system.
Well, also you can't make a deal with the Americans, can you? Like he says, oh, we're going to do a peace talks. But, of course, we've seen them do all this before and then they just punch people in the face. So they're completely untrustworthy, eh?
So instead of spending billions of dollars on submarines and military bases in Australia, we're calling on the Australian government to put that into the maritime industry. They should be funding a publicly owned fleet of Australian crewed vessels, which would help the fuel security problem, and rebuilding our shipbuilding capacity and guaranteeing secure, good union jobs on the waterfront. That's the MUA's position. So
well, that's been I remember going back and doing you would too, and Dave doing rallies, you know, at BP because they were shutting down, you know, ships like the Tandara Spirit and all that.
Yeah,
the British Rally. And they were all those refineries were closing. And the MUA writing to the government saying, we've only got about 19 days of fuel here. What are you doing?
Yeah.
This is not going to end well. So it's everything's okay until it's not.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now it's not.
I did see something on the media the other day that Albo has moved towards doing something with the strategic fleet. So.
Yeah, no, they've said now it's shipping in June. It'll happen in June.
Okay.
That's the latest.
A being singular.
I don't. Asia. Yeah, with two more to follow. I mean, there is some movement there, but this movement, I mean, we've been talking about the strategic fleet now for
decades.
Yeah.
So, and then naturally, then I read an article over the weekend, someone come out and you know, wanted to pour cold water on it. It's only for the MUA. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, we're an island nation, for Christ's sake. Why wouldn't we have our own security and sovereign capabilities? Why are we so reliant? Why do we put ourselves in position to be so reliant on other countries and then things like what's happening now to not occur? You can't, with all these lunatics that are running the world, it's all money.
Yeah, and profits.
And they're getting richer.
Yeah, they are.
Which means there's no chance of them coming out of power in any country soon.
Yeah.
So while that thirst and that greed for power still exists, working class will be at the beck and call. So we've got to say as a country, what are we doing? You've got to have some sort of insurance policy, something.
Absolutely. And peace is union business.
It is, always has been.
And the union movement has both the responsibility and the power to mobilise against this drive to war. So we need to pull our fingers out there. We move on to
I hope there's something a bit more lighter, Dave. It's a pretty have his own. Oh, what's your name? Aaron. I remember you.
Aaron.
Aaron's now joined us. Dave, you remember Aaron?
G'day, Aaron.
Oh, he's speechless. My God.
We did. Morning, comrades. How are you? We did union training last week, which had about 30 members from a variety of different workplaces, the Port of Portland, the Port of Apollo Bay, TP World, TT Line, Cube.
Yep.
It was a great variety.
It was a great variety. And Dave Cushion, as we're all aware, Dave does that training. And when we introduced him at the start of the training, there's no better person qualified than Dave, having done as an official. He did a lot, all the offshore agreements and the seafaring agreements, did all the terminal agreements as well. So he has that experience. And so they came away, the people that did it, all our members that did it, were absolutely wrapped in the training and what it offers. And it's not what they think it's going to be. So that's terrific. And the highlight, I think, that of the training, maybe it's just my highlight, but I love the tour of trades hall. We do that at 8 o'clock in the morning on the day tour training, and the tour of trades hall with its history, Anthony Moore from VTHC takes that, and it's just a fantastic tour. That
yeah, it is.
At the end we go, wow.
The oldest trades hall in the world.
In the world, and that's where the 8-hour day originated. And all the history and the Squizzy Taylor stories, and that's a bullet hole there from, and how police got actual torches, because of a shootout there one day when they were robbing the joint, and the constable turned out to bring anybody's gun, but he couldn't see where he was going, so he's trying to light a candle, so the crooks were there and they knew where he was, so they shot him dead, and so that actually made the Victorian police in Melbourne the first to get a torch. Before they were in, when they were just being invented. So, although that's not the highlight of it, probably like the shows I watch, unless someone's getting shot, I'm not happy. But it really is such an enlightening tour of the history of the trade union movement, not just here in Melbourne and Victoria, but its historical relevance worldwide. So it's just a fantastic thing. As you said, Dave, we had close to 30 doing the training with Dave leading it, and they all came away, a lot of men, a lot of women. That's really quite enlightening for us. I think it's great that our women, female members are putting their hands up to want to know more and want to be invested more and want to be more active. I think that's outstanding. So thank you to everyone who attended, including, as you said, coming all the way from Portland. So terrific couple of days in the branch.
That's the delegates training report. We're going to go to a song. This song's attracted a fair bit of attention during the week, with flash mobs bouncing up doing it because of a particular line it has in it. Like, it's actually like the river to the sea, but it's about from the river to the sea. It's called Two Strong Hearts by John Farnham. Hope you enjoy it.
Johnny Farnham.
Welcome back, members and listeners, to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with Fire Up MUA. Hope you enjoyed that song by Johnny Farnham, Two Strong Hearts.
Is it true the first song you ever had a dance with Kathy to was Sadie the Cleaning Lady? Is that true, David?
No, it's not.
It's not. Well, it's a story that I'm running with.
going to go into some industrial reports, and we've got Jason here, our regional organiser, and he's been doing a great job down at Sea Road Ferries there between Sorrento and Queenscliff. How's that going, Jase?
Yeah, the Sea Road Ferries down there, the Queenscliff Sorrento side, they've actually issued the notice to start bargaining. They've issued the NERR as well. We have members on site there, and we're going to get a seat at the table, and we're going to back those workers down there 100%.
Open arm, you've been greeted with open arms there, Jase.
Yeah, a bit hit and miss there. Management's they've even issued the notice to rights to bargain down there, and they've just decided to take a month's holiday after they issued that. So, yeah, I'm not so well received down there in some retrospects, but we back our members down there, and we back the men and women that work at Sea Road. So, and it's good to see that Sea Roads do employ a high women in the workforce and women seafarers. So, you know, we support them, and it's great to see in the industry as well.
But just to be clear, that's not linked to Sea Road then here. The Sea Road ferries are separate,
That's correct, yes.
different business.
That's
Sea Road
correct.
shipping.
So Sea Road Ferries, their EA expired about 10 years ago. They've had small incremental increases since then. And you know, they've this EA will hopefully will get them back to where they were, and they've fallen behind the award. So we're about to bring them back up to, you know, what they should be.
Great work there, mate. I've been involved in the TT line EA negotiations this week. They've been a long time coming. We've rolled over that agreement a couple of times, waiting for the new vessels. Unfortunately, the new vessels have been delayed and delayed, so we've commenced negotiations. We'll be putting in some clauses there to protect our members around crewing levels of the new vessels.
So just exactly where are the two vessels, and what are we waiting on now?
In the water, Rob.
Spirit 4 is
Clearly.
alongside in Williamstown, and Spirit 5 is on its way from Scotland to Australia. I think it's in about Africa. They're doing a crew change in St. Louis in Mauritius, and that'll be in Fremantle soon. And then I believe it's going to sit alongside at Station Pier. But the vessels are 40% bigger than the current vessels. So it is going to have an impact on crew levels, and it's going to be an important part of the EA negotiation that we put in clauses that protect us and our crew, so that TT Line have to come to the table after the vessels begin mobilisation, and we can work out, you know, what how
So,
many crew need to be on board.
when do they actually think they will start operating?
31st of October. They are
What
selling
year?
this year. They are selling tickets to the public for the first
That's a good
crossing.
rort, that one. Get the cash in and then come back and say, "Oh, you're not going to
Wouldn't
But
it be the first time marketing has oversold something
no,
down at TT Line?
but
Well, that's how Richard Branson got Virgin going. That's another story.
from the 22nd of October, those ships will be on the run, making sure that everything's all good, but with no passengers. That's the plan. And then on the 31st of October,
So a couple of
passengers.
dry runs
A
across
couple
them.
of dry runs, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
How confident are we?
I think we're pretty confident. Although I haven't been down to Devonport recently and seen the construction site of the wharf, which is the
That's
reason why it's been delayed so long. But
So obviously they're expecting that wharf, the extension of the wharf and strengthening to be done by obviously prior to the 31st of
yeah,
October.
yeah. Well and truly, they believe they've got a couple of weeks, if not a month, in hand.
Couple of weeks. Okay.
Anyway, moving on from TT Line, Straightlink have been sold recently, Dave.
Straightlink have made, yeah. INGO Infrastructure Partners purchased Straightlink, and the sale has now gone through full. INGO are a global infrastructure investment management company, if you want to call that. And they invest in over $34.5 billion worth of assets. So they're quite a large multinational company.
Well, so they've got plenty of money, so our
They got
members don't
plenty
have
of
to
money,
worry about
mate.
getting paid.
Yeah, going into EAs, mate. It should be
Well,
up your
plenty.
checkbooks.
Oh, here we go.
This one should be pretty straightforward.
Or we catch them at a time. You're not going to believe what's going on. We're not going too good
We're
at the
not going
moment.
too good. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, we don't do many EAs. where the boss sits down in the first meeting.
Just what do you want?
We're blind.
The Chicken Little story comes out every time, eh? The sky's falling in. We're going to be broke. There's nothing in the cupboards.
But I'll tell you what, the last one we done, my old mate Ross Duncan, who was a manager down there for fucking 40 years, in his opening statement to the union, the committee said, no, we're flying. We've got plenty of money and things are going well. So
how's Ross employment now?
Is he retiring or something? Is he?
No, he's gone.
He's gone. He's gone. I'm not surprised.
So if you're listening there, old Roscoe.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for that snippet of information.
So I don't see it being any different this time, mate. We know that Straightlink and those Bastro jobs in particular make plenty of money. It is what it is. We're going into negotiations, Davo. The NEAA hasn't been issued yet. I think part of the changeover, what we're hearing from the companies, that they wanted that first board meeting with the local management present and the new owners before they issue the NIRR. So we're expecting that to be done the next week.
Was there a thought that they want to do the seafarers first?
Correct, mate. Yeah, seafarers first and then the stevedores towards the end of the year. That could be another sign, mate. They want something done pretty quick, but we're in no rush to get things done. So you might have to come in a bit early, Mooney, depending on how things are going.
We're in no rush to get things done this side of November either.
But, so we without letting too much out, the cat out the bag, you know, we're going in with a pretty clear mandate this time for this. So, yeah, it's going to be work-life balance. I think the company recognise that and they know it's coming. So where we end up with that, we'll see where we go. But
I'm going to ask you a question without notice, which is probably a bit harsh. But is there much difference between the Straightlink seafaring and the Sea Road seafaring?
Not really, agreements.
Yeah, they...
They are quite similar, mate. Yeah, quite similar. But as you're aware, we had some pretty good changes to the Sea Road Leave Ratio, which has set some new standards in Bass Strait. And I suppose we'll be looking to bet it on those standards this time around with Straightlink.
Good luck with that, Dino. We're running to the end of the program. We just want to give our concert for Timor-Leste a plug again, 3rd of May, here at the MUA Rooms in Island Street. Starts at 3:30. It's a fundraiser for East Timor.
And, of course, that follows May Day, which will be at Trades Hall at
midday. So get along to Trades. It's a great Sunday. Get along to Trades Hall for the May Day barbecue in March at midday. Then come down to Island Street, MUA Rooms, for a concert, good food and some drink.
Fantastic. Have a great day, members. Thanks, Ant, and thanks to Annie.
We have enjoy our final song. It's by The Clash. Was first played at the Rock Against Racism Carnival in London in 1978. It's called White Riot. Thank you.
Did you ever dance then? 1978.
Better than Johnny Farner.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.